What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Dark Waters. I'm your host, Josh. It's Tuesday evening. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope everyone's enjoying the week so far. Just got done doing an episode with my friend Armando from the Bass Kayak and Beer Podcast on the Paddle and Fin Network. Fun conversation. Both of us we're just novice anglers, but we've had some recent success, and it was just cool to kind of talk about our growth in the sport and our growth in the podcast world too. So it's we kind of started our journeys around the same time, and it's just cool, man. Just to watch how this thing all plays out. Like we both work hard at this shit, and we're starting to see some success. So make sure you check out his podcast, man. The guy, he has awesome guests, awesome conversations. Dude, he's just a great dude. Anyone who's ever met him will tell you that. But yeah, man, it's freaking late August right now. I mean, the year's almost over. The year just flew by. I only got like two tournaments left. I was supposed to do lacrosse here soon, but I'm gonna pull out of that. Just doesn't seem like the right move right now. It's gonna cost a lot of money. It's a big trip, a lot of planning. I just don't feel like doing right now. I don't think it would do much for my score to make it worth the investment. But it's been a great year. I've had an awesome season. I've learned a lot. I've gotten better. I'm excited about next season. Next season is gonna be different. Definitely gonna do more traveling than I did this year. Hit some of those early events in the spring and see what happens, man. But dude, it's been a great ride so far. I'm gonna continue, man. I'm fucking loving this shit. So, but anyways, we'll jump right into this thing. Let me thank my sponsors real quick before I let you guys go. Styx Fishing, you guys know the drill. It makes six rods to cover all techniques and lures. You can do anything with these six rods. They're affordable because they cut out the middleman. You order straight from them. They're about $100 a piece. You can get all six of them for $500. They got to buy them, try them. If you don't like them, you can send that shit back. I think 90 days. And then, use the discount code DARKWATERS. Make sure you check out their library at StixFishing.com. They got tons of videos that will help you catch fish. Nick, the Informative Fisherman, and Travis Moran, they want to help you guys catch fish. So check them out. Use that discount code I said earlier, lowercase DARKWATERS. Dark Waters is powered by Dakota Lithium. I can't tell you how much I appreciate those guys. They've helped this season tremendously with all the traveling. Plus, they make some badass batteries, the best batteries in the kayak community. Possibly just the best lithium batteries ever. But that power box is clutch. It's got a fucking flashlight on it. You can charge your GoPros, all kinds of shit. You can get all you need for your electronics at Dakota Lithium. So check them out. X-Zone Lures. So much. I've been with those guys 2 years. I got so much good things to say about their plastics. Right now, I've been using the Deception Worm a lot. Been getting a lot of good hits on that. But awesome colors, just awesome lures. Check them out. Use discount code capital D capital W 15. Get yourself a discount on that. And then last but not least, Rogue Fishing Company. Buy you some gear that will save you gear. You won't regret it. Use discount code Dark Waters. But those are my sponsors. If you want to help the podcast out, go check them out. I also got a Patreon account. I haven't been doing much with it, but if you want to help the podcast, donations, whatever, greatly appreciate it. If not, don't worry about it. The show will go on. I'm doing okay. But that's it, guys. I wish I had more to talk about, but I just don't. The season's coming to an end. I'm busy getting ready for these last few tournaments. And I don't know. We'll try to put out some more content. I've been trying to do 2-3 episodes a week. Just hasn't been happening. Just everyone's so busy right now. So, but anyways, I won't waste any more of your time. Enjoy the episode. Talk to you guys again soon. Ciao. Armando, what is up, brother?
What is up, buddy? How's it going?
Good, man. This is exciting. I should have done this a long time ago, but I had plans to learn Spanish, and I was gonna do the I was gonna do the whole episode in Spanish. But I didn't realize that I was gonna have such a hard time learning Spanish. So I nixed that idea, and we'll just do it in English. No big deal, right?
Well, I mean, you only use like three words on your podcast, and they're all curse words. So then you have to learn like three curse words in Spanish.
Yeah. we'll go over that after the podcast.
You got a little gold teeth going on, huh, man? Can't make up your mind?
I was fucking around and somehow I ended up with this thing. It's weird. Facial hair is weird, man.
So looks cool.
Well, good, dude.
How you been?
Good, I'm good, man. You've been doing good. Congratulations on a good second place finish at the Slay Nation Texas event. I saw you second to Mark Pendergraf, which he's no slouch with the fishing rod.
Not in Lake Fork, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. Congratulations to you. First place, man.
Yeah, that was a long time coming, but it's not about me today. It's about you, bro. It's about you.
I gotta have to get used to being interviewed and not being the interviewer or whatever you call it.
Oh, yeah, you see the disaster I did on KBN? Holy shit, it's not easy being the one being interviewed.
I know. It's the next level.
Yeah. So, dude, let's... I mean, just in case no one's heard about you, you're obviously a fellow podcaster. You're part of the Paddle and Fin Network. You do the Bass Beer and Brew, whatever. What is it again, say?
Bass Kayak and Beers.
Bass Kayak and Beers. I knew I was missing one. But why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself real quick, man, since it's your first time on the show. I know I've been on your show a few times, but just in case there's someone who hasn't heard of you, they can know who you are.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. My name is Armando Solá. I'm originally from Puerto Rico, moved to Texas about 11 years ago, fell in love with kayak fishing about 4 years ago, and then eventually got a kayak and a Ascend 12T about 3 years ago. Then I upgraded to an Outback for a year, and then a year and a half later, I upgraded to the PA360, which is what I'm fishing out of right now. Been hooked ever since, man. Everything's that first day of kayak fishing, and I got taken for a sleigh ride on Lake Grapevine. You can't really substitute that adrenaline with anything else that's still going to be healthy. So
right.
Got hooked ever since, man. And for the last 2 years, I've been kind of getting my feet wet in the tournament scene. And like you said, second place at the Slay Nation, which I know you're part of Slay Nation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, shit, dude, like, you know, we've been friends almost 2 years now.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, but this year's been different, man. Like, I mean, you've been fishing for at least, I know, 2 years. But, you know, this year you can actually see, like, these great improvements, man. I mean, not just when you're fishing, but obviously with, like, your video and things like that. So, you know, it's starting to come together for you. And, you know, granted, it's getting closer to the end of the season. But to get a good second place finish in Texas – you know, I think it's no matter how big the event is, that's a pretty good accomplishment because Texas has got a lot of people in there. They know how to fish. But what's been the change, man? What made this year so special?
Well, it's time on the water, man. You know, and for those that don't know, I've said it on my podcast before. The reason, one of the big reasons why I have a podcast is because of you. Like, I wanted to get involved in kayak fishing. The buddies that got me into kayak fishing, life got in the way, and they're no longer kayak fishing. One of them has a bass boat. The other one doesn't fish at all for whatever reason. I don't know how you give up on kayak fishing, but, you know, life got in the way. So I wanted to get to know people and talk to people in the kayak fishing community to learn, because you can only get so much out of watching Fluke Master, which I really appreciate. It's great for beginners, kind of learn the basic, but you can't, there's no substitute for time on the water. And for the first year, man, it was just like I was catching nothing. I mean, every now and then I would stumble into a bass, but I didn't know what I was doing. So the idea of coming up with a podcast came because of my wife. She always listened to podcasts. I'm like, what is it that you listening to all the time? And she'd be podcasts, granted, not kayak fishing podcasts, but just, I don't know, whatever girls are in, like, you know, those true stories, true crime podcast kind of thing.
Like Men from Mars and Women from Hell or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So I listened to your podcast, Paddle and Fin and KBN, and hooked off the waters. And so I decided I wanted to start doing a podcast. And I kind of put it out there so I would pressure myself to do it. I put in social media. And right about the time that I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do this. I don't, you know, I just don't feel comfortable putting myself out there. Yeah. You texted me, and I haven't even met you. And you were like, you know, that supporting a father with tough loves, you know, dropping F-bombs and telling me, go do this, stop being, you know what. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So that helped me out a lot. That's been the key, I think, to me being time on the water and being able to get people on my podcast to talk about kayak fishing. Yeah. Just kind of learn, because you can watch a video, but you still have questions. But when you talk to people, one of when I started the podcast before I got into Paddle and Fit, it was like the real life, which was life stories, which I modeled after what you had in Dark Waters. Obviously not trying to copy it, but right. I like the fact of that, you know, storytelling, life stories. I got very, that episode, the first episode you did with Kate, Catherine Fields,
yeah.
That to me was kind of like the inspiration to do stories like that. But then I did the kayak fishing 101, and even though I put it on the podcast, that was more for me to get these anglers to, you know, give out some of their secrets and some right. of their techniques. So I figured I'll put it on the podcast, even though it's not in my wheelhouse as far as doing interviews. But I mean, I'll learn a lot from it. So that's helped me a lot. And then time on the water.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if I had to, like, you know, this has been a really good year for me as far as tournaments goes. But I think if I had to, like, point it down to, like, what really, like, got me here, it was that finally the podcast paying off, you know, like this year, but yeah. actually being able to travel more and fishing these bodies of water and actually meeting with people. Because it's like you said, like, these videos are great, but like you got to take into like effect, like Jen Jensen. Like he doesn't fish up here in the upstate New York area. It's totally different. And you know, the same thing with those tactical bass thing. Like, you know, there's a lot of great information on there. You know, I definitely picked up things here and there, but just some of the things, like, you got to learn how to fish your bodies of water, and that's what I did. Like last year, I got, because of the COVID, I got really good at fishing my bodies of water, and so I was able to pick up these things. And whatever I could take to me with these other bodies of water, I brought with me. But then again, I learned how to fish those bodies of water now too. And so it's time in the water, but it's also just the different people I've met who've actually, you know, meeting someone from Tennessee and fishing in Tennessee, you're going to learn a little bit about fishing in Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with like all the other areas I fish. And so it really comes down to like the people that you spend time on the water with, I think, or spend time with before you get on the water. But I think that's really what, you know, if I had to go back, you know, when I was struggling, that was probably the issue. I didn't have the right people, and I was just, you know, when you watch the video, you're like, well, what does that mean? You know, like when they're mm-hmm. saying, like, you know, like boat positioning. Okay, what does boat position mean? You know, then they get out there and fish with someone, and they actually show you what boat position is, and it just happens to be, you know, Jake Harsh or whoever it is I'm fishing with. It starts to make sense after a while. You know what I mean?
And doing tournaments too, I've always, and I mentioned it on the podcast that aired today, I had an interview with Jamie Stevenson. She's a great angler from Ontario, Canada. And I mentioned it, even if you're not interested in competitive kayak fishing, but you're interested in enjoying and getting the most out of kayak fishing experience and being able to catch fish, go join a local club tournament. You don't have to spend the $250 for Hobie BOS or Bassmasters or KBF. You can just $35, $50. Usually that's around the local club tournaments. Get on the water. After, don't ask them middle of a tournament, hey, what you throwing out? Because I find that disrespectful. But after it's done, ask them, hey, you know, you don't have to tell me your secret spot, but what worked for you? And be honest, I'm learning. I'm here to learn. They don't mind telling you. They're not going to give you all their secrets, but they'll take the time to teach you. Everybody loves to talk about and brag about their how they caught their fish.
Yeah.
And it's a great way, even if you're not, you know, if you're not interested in competitive fishing, you still get a lot from it. It's a small investment in my part. And every now and then, you know, my first year doing a tournament, it took me like first three tournaments, I got skunk.
Yeah.
The fourth tournament, I caught one fish and it came off the board when I was taking a picture. Because that's the other thing. You have to practice taking pictures.
Right.
And then the last tournament of the year, I caught one fish and it had to be big bass. And there was my, I guess, something like $100. And that kind of paid some of the tournament fees. So I got a little something out of it.
Yeah.
But you can see the progression. Things start to you mentioned it on that podcast you did with KBN. Things start clicking in your mind and you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
It's like there are times where you said, okay, I learned this. And then there's times where you're just doing it because it becomes second nature and you don't even realize you learned it.
Yeah.
You just kept repeating it until you got it. And now it becomes natural to you. You don't remember when it clicked, but it clicked.
Yeah, I think it just it's very small, like with bass fishing. It's like it's just very small improvements that I've noticed over the years. Because like you, like when I first got into tournament fishing, I did decent at my local events. You know, I would catch fish, but I would never get top 10 or top 20. But I was catching fish. But I go to like a national tournament. I think I skunked every national tournament for like the first 2 years. I don't think I caught a single fish during tournaments at any national events in my first two seasons. And then this season was just completely different. But it was just like these small changes. And it was like going back and back and back and figuring things out. Like, you know, like I didn't throw anything but a chatterbait this year for like the first two months. You know what I mean? The chatterbait, and then you know, then I started adding to that. I started getting a little bit further away from like the grass, and I started getting into like the rocks. I started getting offshore a little bit, but it was like a very slow progression. It wasn't like there was no instant gratification. There was a lot of struggling, and then finally, it's just like, holy shit, I can do all this. And then like I've gotten so used to fishing it all. I look at my monitor, and I'm like, I know what I can do here. I know, you know, what could work. Now, that's not to say it always works. That's fishing in general, but it's like I never feel like I'm lost anymore like I used to. Like when I used to go out there and do these tournaments. It was just like mindless casting over and over and over again. No direction, no purpose. Like the only thing I know is that I paid money to fish a tournament, and that was it. Yeah. Everything else was just like just throwing shit out my ass. And like now, it's like I have a plan. I have a plan B, and then if it doesn't, I'm okay with that because I know how to. I know the process now of kind of like figuring shit out. Now whether I'm going to cash a check at the end of the day, that's kind of irrelevant because like when you're looking at like you really have to look at this thing as like a. Like this is a marathon, not a sprint. Like you suck today, but it has nothing to do with the rest of the season or next season. This is going to be helpful regardless, whatever you do today. But you can't look at like what you're. You can't look at successes and cash checks. Like where I am as an angler, like how I'm improving, and how that's going to set me up for later. Because you know, it was like a matter of time before I got a first place finish. You know what I mean? Because it's like I was far, far away. And then I was getting closer and closer, and I was like, you know, I was catching limits. I was like, okay, that's good. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, wow, you cashed your first check. And then, like, the next few tournaments, I'm cashing checks. I'm like, dude, you're cashing checks a lot. And then I go to a bigger tournament, and I'm like, dude, you got a limit in a national tournament. That's a pretty big deal for you. And then, you know, you're like, dude, you top 20 at a national KBF event. That's pretty goddamn good. And then, you know, you go to a Hobie event, and you're like, dude, like, you're not too far away. You're two fish away. Or two improvements away from being someone to look out on the leaders board. I mean, if two more fish upgrades at like the Susky, who knows where I would have been up in the lineup? But I mean, it was just that close, and that's progress. I think that's the success. That's a success. And then next thing you know, I get first place at a pretty big event up here in the Northeast. It's just like never saw it coming because you know, like I said, it's not. There's no instant gratification. It's a slow progress. Yep. There's a lot of shit happening. You're learning, and then like then one day you're just like, holy shit! Like I'm still like when I look at my first place finish at New Hampshire, I'm like, I can't tell if that was luck or skill. You know what I mean? I'm sitting there trying to figure it out because it happened so gradually and so unexpectedly. But it's just like you got to take credit for it somewhere because you know of all the hours that you put in, all the videos you watch, the map study. The you know the relationships that you built in fishing that help as well, but it's such a long process. But everything you do counts before you get a tournament that's gonna kind of like you know because now you know I got some little bit of momentum this season, but it took a long time and a lot of shit to get to that place. If that makes any sense.
No, it is, and one of the things that I think it was on the podcast where you were KB, and by the way, epic. Epic podcast. I was driving to Lake Fork the day before, and I almost drove off the road driving, man. That was awesome. I got back from Lake Fork, and I told my wife, because she every now and then she'll listen. She loves listening to you when you're on my podcast. And she's like, you got to listen to Josh Smith. You got to listen. She was cracking up so hard. But one of the things that mentioned on that podcast, I think it was that podcast, that says you have to put yourself in a position where luck plays a factor. Because I hate it when people throw that, oh, you got lucky. No, you put yourself, you don't catch five fish. You don't by pure luck.
Right.
Much less the biggest bag of the day by pure luck.
Right.
You have to put yourself in a position to be lucky. And the only way you do that is by having a plan, having knowledge of what the body of water you're going to be fishing.
Right.
Putting a plan A and B together. And yes, you happen to cast that right at the exact place where that fish would bite. Otherwise, if you'd have missed an inch further or shorter or to the left or to the right, you wouldn't have gotten a bite. You wouldn't have won. Right. That's putting yourself in a position of luck. When I was fishing for the JT tournament, and it was a month-long tournament, my first day out of the water is like it got hot. Water temperature in the creek was 92 degrees. And I'm thinking, I'm leaving this place now, and I don't have time to throw a Ned rig because, you know, it's hot, it's humid, I need to get out of here before I dehydrate. So my plan is I'm going to power fish, which it sounds stupid because the fish are lethargic, but my thought process was, if I get lucky and I hit a fish in the nose with a chatterbait, I'm going to get a bite.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the time to just play with a Ned rig or a weightless sink or wacky rig to see. So that was my plan. And sure enough, I would cast into brush piles and just slam it in there and just reel it back in. And sure enough, I hit a bass in the face, happened to be 21 and a half inch, and I caught it. But that's putting yourself in a position where you say, oh, that was lucky, because that's not... You would never think of throwing that bait at dusk conditions. It's like, yeah. No, it's you're right. You shouldn't throw in dusk conditions. If I had time for a tournament, then I wouldn't do that. But the point is, sometimes you have to kind of think outside the box, and sometimes you get lucky. Yeah. But it's because you put a plan in place.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's 100% correct. I think it's there's no way to deny that there's a lot of luck that's in this game.
Yeah.
You're right. Put in your position, you got to put yourself in a position to be lucky. And that's like one of the things that I learned. Like last year was a complete disaster at tournaments. I was just sporadic all over the place, just fishing like a dumbass. And this year, it's like everything I do, I have to have like a reason. Because like I really want, like I like to fish grass. And so like that's usually where I look for. During my pre-fishing of this last tournament I did, the grass wasn't playing the way that I needed to play. And like, you know, like the stubborn part of me was like, no, stay here and fish this. There's fish in here. But I'm like, no, like, that's like, why? Like, why are you going to stay here? There's nothing. It hasn't been producing. There's nothing you've done. There's going to be a success here. Go here. See what you can do here. And like, it's constantly like having a why are you here? And why are you casting here?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, then what are you doing? Like, there's a time where you got to throw a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, but don't throw a Hail Mary the first quarter of the game. Like, I mean, there's a lot of game left. That's kind of what I changed a lot this year. It's like Candlewood, for instance. Like the first day, I didn't have a reason why I was doing a lot of things. I was just moving too much. I was covering too much water on game day. I was going to places I didn't pre-fish, which is okay sometimes if it's that kind of situation where nothing's working for you. But it's like I didn't have a why or a good reason to be doing anything I was doing. Day two, though, I figured out what my why was, why I was going to fish this area, why I was going to throw this, why I was going to stay there, and I got a limit, which is at that time was a very good limit for me. Very, you know, I consider it a success, especially when you like day one you skunk, day two I did great. But it's because I found my why I was going to fish that area, and it's the same thing in New Hampshire. Like, I fish these areas, and when they weren't producing anymore, why stay here? Why stay here? Like if I can't find a reason to stay here, then it's time to go to my next spot. And then I got there. Why am I fishing this area? I look at my graph. There's rocks. There's drops. There's ledges. There's all these things. I'm like that kind of shit holds fish. And so this is a good place to start throwing a net or whatever I was gonna throw. And I think that's the biggest difference. Like when you look at like the first few years of tournament fishing was just mindlessly. A lot of it had to do with the mental part of the game. Once I figured that out, then it started becoming more and more about skill and knowledge than it did anything else. And you're right. It's all about putting yourself in a position where you can get lucky, and that's probably the best way I've heard it described, was like putting yourself where you can get luck, where you can hit that big fish if it's there. But you got to have a reason to be there, and I think that's if I had like if I could change anything in the past, it's like that would be like one of the first things I wish I could have learned was like, don't fish here if it's not a good area. Don't try to make shit water into good water. You know what I mean? If it's shitty, mm-hmm. It's shitty. You know, like you got to go. Don't waste time here. You only have 8 hours to pull this shit out of your ass. And so that was, I think it was the biggest difference this year, why I've had success, you know, especially in my local area, Which the fact that I just didn't accept shitty water. I didn't, you know, if it was time to move, it was move. Where I was moving, I had a reason. And if I left an area, I left it. I didn't feel, you know, a lot of times when you fish comfort, like comfortably, which is not bad all the time, but like if you get so used to being comfortable, it's hard to leave that area. And so you'll stay there and you'll live and die by that area. And it's just like, dude, you paid too much money. You travel too far to just put all your eggs in one basket. You know what I mean? And then it's just like, if it's time to go, it's time to go and leave that area and forget about it and go and start fishing that new area, you know, the way you're supposed to. So, I mean, it takes a lot of growth to get good in the sport. And when you look at guys like, you know, Casey Reed and, you know, Cody Milton and Russ Snyder, God, when you hang out with those guys, especially, and you listen to the way they talk, it's like, all right, I'm starting to get it. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm pretty much done with this season. I'm ready for next season because I've gotten so much better. I'm like, I'm ready to start over again with a clean slate and go out there and start kicking some ass, you know?
Yeah, I'm the same way. And you touched on something, and the mental part is very important. Because when I started fishing, kayak fishing, I thought about getting competitive fishing. My thought was like, listen, this guy's like, especially here in the South, you know, Southern guys over here, they grew up bass fishing.
Yeah.
That's a bass fishing culture. You go to like Lake Fork, and it's the one thing I love about Lake Fork is everything around that lake revolves into bass fishing.
Yeah.
Or if fishing in general, it's like going into a time capsule, going back in time to the 80s, because everything is just revolving around fishing. You know, and when you look at guys like Ross Snyder, who's fished all his life, all those guys, you think like, well, I'm just picking up the sport. Well, I mean, how long is it going to take me to achieve that level of knowledge? And that gets in your head and you figure, I'm never going to be able to catch up because I can't substitute the 30 years, whatever that Ross Snyder has been fishing. I can't rush to that into 3 years. But it's really about paying attention and getting that thought out of your mind. And the way you get confidence. And I'll tell you this. When I went into Lake Fork, I was completely sure in my mind that I was going to win this tournament. And the reason why I thought that is because I had a plan. I researched the lake. I noticed the my favorite spot, which is Caney Creek and Coffee Creek, were going to be somewhat muddy because they had 3 or 4 inches of rain a few days before. I knew everybody and their mother were going to fish those areas. So I changed the plan, went to Google Maps, started looking for coves that were protected, started looking for grass, docks, what's the weather going to be? It's going to be hot. Okay, by this time, I'm going to start skipping into docks. And I had my whole setup prepared, and that gave me confidence. I had no doubt in my mind that I was going to win it. Even when I got into the captain's meeting, which is live captain's meeting, I walk in and I see Brian Howell and Mark Pendergraph, and all of a sudden I feel like, well, maybe third place will be. Maybe third place. Third place is still in the money, but I kind of got that thought out of my mind quickly. But I thought, no, this is what I want, and I was always looking at the leaderboard. And the only thing that I wanted, not more than winning, but the only second most important thing to me was I wanted to see Brian Howell and Mark Pendergraph do good. I wanted to beat those guys at their top of a game. I was not gonna feel sorry for myself. I have that mentality that I was gonna go out there and make it personal that Mark Pendergraph and Brian Howell are here. And I say that with the utmost respect, understanding that these are two of the top anglers right now. You know, the Possum King and Brian Howell, who's sitting second place at the Hobie BOS. Yeah. So I had an X under their name, like, I want to beat these guys. And Brian Howell was having a pretty good day from the get-go. And I was like, and that gave fuel me motivation. And I started grinding. The day was it was a grind. I was like, I'll settle for 5 fish. But my first fish was early in the morning. It was a 21.5 inch, and I was, it's game on. I would look at the leaderboard, and I'm like, Brian, Mark, I'm coming for you guys. And that kind of like spirited mentality got me into, like, instead of when 2 hours pass and now I haven't caught a second fish. I didn't caught my second fish till almost halfway to the tournament. And that was at 19 and a half. Similar to your story when you were, and it's funny because all jokes aside, that interview you did to KBN helped me a lot because my day was shaping up exactly like yours, with the exception that I started with a 21 and a half inch, you know, in the first hour. But other than that, then it got, the grind was like slow and I had to think and look around. What am I, outside of my plan B, what am I looking at that's changing? Winds have picked up from the south. Let's move to the north side of the cove where I wasn't expecting to fish. And then I found two there. I saw movement of water. I changed baits. And that got me, you know, baby steps. One here, until that final hour I caught my last two. Now, careful what you wish for. Mark Prendergast was the top of his game. And about with the last hour, he caught the last fish that actually beat me on it. But I love the experience and I love finally having that competitive edge where I'm no longer just going to settle for catching five fish and not embarrassing myself. I'm going to look at the big names on the board, and with the utmost respect, I'm going to put it in my mind that I want to go after this guys. I want to beat this guys. And that is very important when you're going to fish a tournament, because at some point you're going to get tired of giving money away.
Yeah.
Right? You at the beginning, you're like, okay, I want to learn. That was the first year. This year, I'm like, no, now I want to start taking names down, you know? And I was so disappointed in one part because Mark Prendergast beat me by 3 inches. But at the same time, I also realized some of the mistakes I made to the end. And when I caught that five fish, I settled. I still had an hour to go, and I didn't stop fishing, but I left my foot off the gas. That kind of gave me like, okay, finally, I caught five fish. And I looked at the leaderboard, and I knew if Mark gets that fifth fish, he's going to beat me. Even in the, if that fish was about, which I think it was, 15 inches, which is more than doable in Lake Fork, he's going to beat me. But I was so psyched. There was such a high of me like, trying to get that last two fish. And when I finally caught that fish, there was kind of like a relief, and I left the, you know, I took the foot off the pedal. I should have kept fishing like I needed more fish. I needed to call that 13 inch. But I kind of settled, not that I stopped fishing, but I stopped being more aggressive and hoped that Mark Prendergast didn't catch the last, that fish. And that's a learning experience for me. Next time I know, I can't let that, because you get to a high and then you catch that fish like, yeah, and then it kind of like, you know, normal, we're humans. You kind of like lay back a little bit and you have to fight through that complacency and say, no, if I have 90 inches, I want to go for 100 inches.
Yeah.
Even if I'm winning by 15 inches, don't left the foot off the pedal until that lines out time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like, it's like, you know, my tournament, I didn't catch my fifth fish until that last hour. And I caught it right when they turned the leaderboard off. I didn't know what the score was. I knew that I caught a big fish. I remember the last leader had 86 inches, and I'm like, shit, I think I'm in first. And so I'm like, well shit, dude, I gotta catch. Well, I gotta upgrade. You know, I was at 88 inches. Like, I have to get 90 inches. Just I got to seal the deal. But I tell you what, though, I was exhausted. And I had about, you know, 50 minutes to fish to try to find, you know, the upgrade, like a 13 3/4, which which should have been easy, but I mean, it's so hard to figure out, like, if you're not used to being, and this is something I learned at like one of my first tournaments this season at Cayuga, where I took fourth, was like, once you get in the lead, it's so like scary and tired.
Yeah.
For one, you're exhausted, especially in that last hour. Two, it's like, well, what do I do? Do I stay here? Do I go? Do I throw a Hail Mary now? What do I do? And you're battling fatigue. Your mind's like, and not only that, but you're starting to get nervous now. So once you start getting nervous, you start questioning your decisions, whether it's to stay, to move. Why am I moving there? What is the right decision? Like, how do I, you know, maintain this lead? And that's a difficult. I think it's all part of the growth as a competitor. You know, as a competitor in any sport. You know, one of the things that, you know, when I do talk to these people, you know, I'm lucky in a sense I get to talk to people who win their first time. And then, you know, I've been looking at to watch people progress, you know, like whether it's, you know, Kate Fields or Jake Harshman or all these people. I got to see them become successful at the beginning. And like, it's like, they just learn how to win. And then, and that's the, I think it's the part where I'm in right now. It's like learning how to win and, mm-hmm. and how to do it right. I'm not saying it was a fluke that I won, but I am lucky that no one was able, like everyone else was struggling, and I was able to maintain that lead for an hour. Like no one caught a fish for like an hour. And I'm very lucky that happened. But at the same time, it's like, I got to figure out how to fish that last hour right. I need to learn how to feel, like how to make decisions in that last hour that will put me, you know, if all I got to do is coal, you know, 13, you know, and three quarters, all I need is a 15 inch or 16 inch fish, and that's going to do tremendous for my score. You know, how do I do that? You know, like, it can't be that hard to figure out. I mean, it's just like, but having that kind of knowledge, that kind of experience is really what's going to separate me from those guys who are winning those big Hobie events and winning the, you know, the bigger KBF events and going to the championship and doing like Ryan Lambert did last year, like knowing how to win like that, is the next. I think it's probably like the next part of my evolution as a competitive angler. No. Right now, I'm still figuring it out. You know, like one thing that I want to talk to you about, because me and you, I think I had like a year on you, maybe 2 years.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the same today. We're a year on me.
Yeah, we're not like that far apart, and we're friends and we've watched each other grow in the sport. But it's like one of the things that I've had to do, you were talking about, like, you know, like someone like Russ Snyder having like 30 years of experience over us, like how do we compete with that? And like one of the things that I've had to do was quit trying to pretend I'm a great angler. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not taking all these crazy rods that I don't know how to use. I'm not taking all these different lures that I don't have a lot of confidence. I might only throw a chatterbait in a Ned rig. That might be the only two things I throw for the day, period, any day. You know, it's just one of those things. Like, I'm not going to sit there and do things now like I used to. You know, I'd have a cranking rod, a square bill, and this and that, and these things that I just don't have that much success with yet. I'm not saying completely throw them out of my arsenal, but one of the things I had to do was, like, just simplify shit and keep it simple for me. Like, this is how I fish. I don't go outside of it unless I have to or unless I'm practicing, but this is how I fish. And that's been tremendous. That's done wonders for me this year. Like, it's kind of boring because there's certain ways I would love to catch fish, but I had to, like, you know, I remember I was riding in the back of Cody Milton's van, and I was looking at all his, because like he does not store, like he's like one of the most unorganized people I've ever met. Like his kayak is just full. I know I could tell you all the shit he was using, but he just has, he had so much stuff, but he's got like 15, 20 years of experience. Like, why would I ever pretend like I'm that kind of angler? Like, keep it simple, keep it small, and build on this, and, you know, and enjoy the ride, and take your time. But, dude, you can do a lot with just three techniques, you know what I mean? And people don't understand it. Like, you can do a lot with just a few techniques. I mean, hell, I've won a few checks this year just off, like, two or three techniques. And I'm not saying I don't want to add to that, but at the same time, like, that's how I am successful right now, and I can't, you know, I can't get down on myself. That's my recipe for success right now, you know what I mean?
That's a good point, because sometimes we watch a video and we figure, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I understand, you know, summer patterns.
That's where those videos will screw you. Like, I'm like, this is nothing against those guys.
No, it's true.
But you watch those videos, that I didn't learn it, because like I do jiu-jitsu, and my coach used to get on us all the time because we'd go on YouTube videos and watch these new techniques and stuff, and he'd be like, stop doing that shit. Come here and train. Learn what I teach you, and then when you get better, you can start adding to your arsenal. But you need to keep it simple. You start adding too much to your arsenal, and that's probably why I was so strung out like the first 2 years. It's like I had everything, thousands of dollars worth of the equipment, and I couldn't use any of it, and I wasn't catching fish because, like, that's not working. This is working. And, like, I'm watching all these YouTube videos, and they're telling me to do this, telling me to do that.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there trying to learn a thousand different techniques where, I don't know, I think it was Bruce Lee who said, like, you know, like the one guy who practices, you know, one technique 1,000 times is a little more efficient than the guy who practices 1,000 techniques a few times. So that's, I don't know why it took me so long to learn that, but like this year I kept it really simple. It helped that I had the Styx rod setups where it's just like, it just, but I don't know. I think that has a lot to do with, like, I think a lot of anglers' downfall is that they're trying to do too much. You know, they're trying to have too much. It's just like, you got to accept, like, first you got to have real expectations, and then you can't lie to yourself. Like, if you're not that, don't pretend you're a great angler if you're not. Like, you can still pull the shit out of your ass. You can still win, but you got to be honest with yourself and the techniques you know and the things you're comfortable with, and start with that. Like, having a real base to, like, the pyramid that you're trying to build.
Yeah, and that's some great insight, because that's the same thing I went to. And what it is, and for those out there that might be listening and might be getting into kayak fishing, what happens with that, at the end of the day, you become a master of none. Which means you have mastered not a single technique, because you went jumping around from one technique to another, thinking that the rod was the problem, thinking that the choice of line was the problem, thinking that the bait was the problem, where actually the problem is you're jumping around and going too deep into the rabbit hole and not enjoying the experience. Go for a technique that you can, that first of all, it's going to produce. Don't go for like, trying to think of something like a net rig when the bite, when you know, and it's pre-spawn when or post-spawn where they're feeding, you know. Yeah. Not that it wouldn't work, but you know, go with the baits that are going to be for that season or that particular, you know, that's going to be successful. But then stick with it, master it, get familiar with it, and then go on to the next thing. But don't be jumping around thinking, well, the chatterbait didn't work, I'm just going to go with this. Well, it didn't work because you're throwing it on spawning season. So unless you're throwing it on a bed, no, it's not going to work. You're not going to win a tournament. You might catch a few males, immature males that are still like 12 inches, but you're not going to catch those big bass that are going to win a tournament because you're not using the technique that it is that for that moment. So go with the seasons. Go with what's going to work and master it. Yeah. Don't switch around at the beginning. Once you, like you said, once you at that level when you're like Cody Milton, which takes years, there's no substitute for time on the water and for years of experience. Once you grow with it, then your arsenal expands. But don't expand your arsenal in the first year and thinking it's going to work, because it's not.
No, in fact, you're gonna be like me. It's like 4 years later, and I got a wall of lures. I'm probably never ever gonna. I got like a shit ton of crankbaits. I'm probably never gonna use. I should probably sell them and buy the shit that I need. But that's the sport though. That's the industry. If you're relying on YouTube videos, those guys are. It's not that they're really trying to sell you stuff, but they're trying to entertain people and keep people coming back to their channel. So they got to keep throwing things out there. It's helpful, but like when you're trying to catch, if you're fishing tournaments your second year in fishing, and you don't have the discipline to sit there and throw a chatterbait for 30 minutes because you want to switch to a crankbait because you think it's a good idea, it's just, I don't know, that was like one of my biggest downfalls. And the moment my kayak flipped last year and I lost everything, that's when I started getting better. That's when I had to rebuild my arsenal, and I'm like, why? I'm not buying 20 fucking rods anymore. Like I was just lucky that Sticks had, they brainwashed me and they convinced me that's what I needed. And whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But it fucking helped me, and I was excited about, you know, I'm excited to be part of the Sticks family because it kept fishing really simple to me, and that was, you know, like just tremendous. I mean, great, I probably could have done it with any rods, but it was just that those two guys grabbed a hold of me when they did, and it's just weird. Like when you watch guys like us and you see the growth. And then, but also the people we know, like Cat Fields and people like that. It's like, it's anyone's ball game if you're willing to go through the shit that we go through and learn the hard lessons that we learn. I mean, you can cash some checks in this sport, you know?
Yeah. And look, Catherine Fields has gone where she's gone right now. At the Hobie BOS, she's ranked higher right now than Christine Fisher, one of her idols. But the reason for that is because Catherine Fields, when you look at it, and don't mean this in a disrespect, but her, you know, her younger days are past her, you know, and she's fishing against like Christine Fisher, which is a lot younger than her and still has more experience than her. Plus, add to that Catherine Fields used to fish in Utah, which no way translate into the bodies of water where she's fishing now. But how did she do it? Time on the water. She spent time on the water. She would find local anglers and she would listen to what they had to say, and she would put it in practice and then repetition and repetition until she found her niche. Is she the most weld all around angler? Probably not, but she knows what she is and what she's not.
Yeah.
And that's the key to your success. You got to know what you are and what you're not.
And
doing that process on your off time when you're not in a tournament, practice on what you're not. So at that point, you can be like the Cody Milton, the Russ Snyder, where they can, you know, adapt to any and every situation. But at the moment, go with what works for you.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's like I said, realistic expectations and being honest with yourself, like with what, yeah, what you're capable of, I think will go a long way in this sport, especially those early years. Don't worry, in 10 years, we'll be talking a whole different shit. You know what I mean? Like, we'll be talking about, like, the, like, our shows will probably become more skill based shows where we talk about the Pacific.
Yep.
You know, but right now, we're just like, I just want to fucking check and I don't know how.
It's pretty much it. But yeah, I mean, it's, what else can you mention about it that we already haven't said? It's just putting the time on the water and just knowing who you are and what you're not.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. So get off that a little bit. The podcast, man, I feel like, you know, like I was there in the early days and I've watched it grow.
You are.
I was one of your early guests. And I think, like, I mean, like, I'm happy that you kept doing it. And I was proud that, you know, when I heard you were going with Paddle and Finn, I thought that was a pretty good idea because it increased your reach and it just gave you a lot more opportunity. It's been a struggle doing this shit by myself. But you know, but still at the same time, it's still your baby. It's still your idea, and I think it's gone a long way. It's like, what do you feel is next for you with the show? Because that's what I'm trying to figure out. Because I'm getting ready for the season to end. I got to take a break. Like, I mean, I've been going hard since COVID. So like, eventually, I need to take like a month. And I'm just trying to think, like, how do I build? What do I add to this podcast? Everyone likes it, but if, you know, everything changes, and new podcasts are coming out, so you got to be always evolving. What are some of the things that you think about, like what to do with your podcast, like how to change it up, you know, future evolutions of, you know, what you're doing?
Well, here's the thing. When I look at the podcast and what I do with social media, and this is my advice to anybody that's out there wants to get involved in social media as far as kayak fishing and other things, put the community first.
Yes.
If you put yourself before the community, that's going to show up and that's going to turn people off. I put the community first. Whoever I bring as a guest, I understand some of the guests I'm bringing have a bigger reach and I benefit more from having them on my show than them being on my show. So I try to do my best to promote them, to let them know, hey, you know, I understand I am gaining more by you coming here than you are by coming here. So whatever I can do to help you, let me help you. And that's the way I've gone about it. Right now, what I'm trying to do is give the tournament anglers their space so they can get more popular and help them become monetized out of, you know, out of social media, because I think that's the next evolution in the kayak fishing sport. But at the same time, I like to bring responsible content creators. And when I say responsible content creators that I feel that are putting the community first, not trying to make a quick buck out of the community. And expand, you know, get people from different areas. And so far it's worked, and I like the storytelling. And I'll give you an experience that you're going to love. When I was signed up for the Lake Fork, a guy named Jeremy McCormick, shout out to him,
yeah,
messaged me and he says, hey man, come up to, if you want to stay at our place, we rent it, let me know. Perfect. I show up, the guy has a Dark Waters cap, big Dark Waters sticker on the back, and he's like, and it was a very humbling experience because he was like kind of bashful at first, and I was like, yeah man, so thank you. And he's like, kind of broke the silence, says, you don't understand, man, I'm such a big fan of you and what you're doing. I'm super excited that you're here in the podcast. And that was very humbling for me because I'm like, I didn't think I had a fan base, but I guess I do. All this time I was thinking, I hope he's not confusing me with Josh Smith, because I see the sticker, I see the hat, and it's going to break my heart if he thinks I'm Josh Smith.
Do I drink so much that I sound Spanish?
I'm like, I hope he doesn't think I'm Josh Smith.
Puerto Rican, but I'm just drunk.
So, no, he did know who I am, but he's a big fan of you. He mentioned you, like, he was obviously with the sticker and the cap and, you know, your merch that he was repping on the tournament. He's a big fan of you as well, probably more than a fan of me. But that kind of thing fuels me to keep doing the podcast because, like you said, it's a grind. I'm fortunate to be in Paddle and Finn where, honestly, Brian Schiller carries most of the weight.
Yeah.
And Dan Perry, whenever I'm short of a guest, hey, Dan, who's connected with everybody in the kayak fishing community. I need a guest. You know, my last guest canceled on me. Boom, there's somebody there. And, you know, 5 minutes later, I have a great guest. So it does help me kind of like lift some of the heavy weight of not having to upload it myself, not having to edit it, not having to, you know, keep messaging people to have special guests. Most of the special guests that I get is people that I reach out to, but every now and then somebody can't make it, so I have to, you know, substitute. And that's when Dan Perry comes in clutch and gets me somebody that's usually a name that you wouldn't think of. And to me, that's the thing. Get people from different demographics to talk about kayak fishing. Like I just had, like I said, Jamie Stevenson. She was just on my show, great angler from Ontario. And you can see as soon as she reposted it on her social media, then I start getting followers from Canada being interested in my content. And that's the key. You know, sometimes I understand like KBN is tournament based. And that's their bread and butter. They're gonna.
Yeah.
They're not gonna go out. Yeah. That's their space. Yeah. They're the best at it. And that's their space. You know.
It made me change my show. That's why I started to not chase the first place winners as much. I mean, I still talk to them, but like it's not a big deal for me to wait a few weeks and let.
Yeah.
I think KBN does a better job at that kind of talking than I do. You know what I mean? Like I'm the fun guy and the bullshitter. I can bring a number one guy on, and we won't even talk about winning the tournament. You know what I mean? It's just like, but what those guys do, I think, is they're the best at it. And the same thing with a lot of, like, I don't talk about new gear a lot of times, but I think that Brad and Josh's show does great doing that kind of shit. So it's knowing you're like where you like work. Dude, like it's such a big space, and we can all find our little spot in it. If that makes any sense.
And one of the things that I've noticed, and you probably noticed too, is people gravitate to you as a person. I remember I went through a spot where, I just let her out of the room, but my dog who has cancer, when she was diagnosed with cancer, that was horrible for me because I don't have kids. So I was like, I was like, I didn't want to record a podcast, but I didn't want to let Brian Schiller down. So he just told me, if you can't record, you know, that's fine, but consider recording one and talking about your experience and what you're going through. Yeah. And I did an episode where I was like, hey, sorry, I don't have a special guest. I'm going through this. It was so short. It was 30 minutes. But talking about the stuff that I wanted to do, kayak fishing and going, you know, emotionally going through my thing of my dog being diagnosed cancer and now having to go to surgery and radiation and stuff like that. And I started getting a lot of messages and people that, and I would message back. I mean, man, I thought it was stupid. And then most of the people message back and it says, no, man, it's totally relatable. Shows you're human, you know, which, obviously. But it stuff like that, being yourself has helped me a lot. Now, I'm not going to do solo episodes all the time, but I want to do something where it's not just tournament fishing. It's just people and their life and how kayak fishing revolves around their life and has helped them through their life.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's you know, like my podcast is so weird because it doesn't have like a direction. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where I still even know what my niche is. All I know about my niche is that I'm able to create a space where people will talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about. And that might be it, but like, I don't know. I talk about tournaments, I talk about life, I talk about. Some people just come on the show just to watch me shotgun beers. I don't know. I have no idea. But it is. It's cool though. What I love about it is though, like everything I'm doing with the podcast, it's mine. I'm being myself. You know, it's uncompromising. It's exactly how I want it to be. I don't have a producer. Yeah. I don't have anyone I answer to. I do things the way I want to do it. And it's done really well. A lot of people like that kind of flow. I think because, you know, it's like a lot of people that listen to my podcast are driving back and forth to work, you know, and these are fish heads. If they're not fishing, they want to talk about fishing or listening about fishing. And, you know, and if it's entertaining, it's going to be entertaining. If it's something that's going to hit, you know, touch the soul, like talking about your dog or whatever, they don't care. They just want something good to listen to. They want to be entertained. They want to feel. And that's what I love about podcasts. I think podcasts are it's one of the best things ever created. I want to be a podcaster. I want to be a professional podcaster. I love what podcast does for people.
No, and that's a great thing. I was I now have worked alongside with a guy called Charlie Wells, and you can follow him on Instagram, DG Wells, and he's like a marketing guru, and he wants to get involved in helping fishermen kind of like monetize and help them. So I'm kind of like his rat lab, you know, where he kind of like, he kind of gives me guidance, but he wants to know how the kayak, the fishing as related to growing the social media works, because it's kind of like symbiotic relationship. Now he helps me, but he also wants to learn more about how you can transfer the kayak, your social media, your podcast, YouTube, into actually getting money and reaching out to other people. So yeah, we feed out of each other, and today we just had like a business meeting out of it. And one of the things he was telling me is like, you know, think outside the box, you know, look for those people that you normally, you know, if you're always going to have Russ Snyder, then what's the point? You're only going to stay with this mono group. The Russ Snyder following is may follow you, but that's as far as it's going to go. Right. Whereas if you go people that's outside the tournament, one of the guys that I had last week was Frank Twiggy Reed. And we started talking. It's like before we started recording, it was like, okay, let's see what we can talk about. Because he's one of those guests that Dan Perry got me because last minute cancellation. So when he started talking to me, he's like, yeah, man, I used to jump out of planes in the middle of a war zone and kill people. Nice. And then I broke my leg. And now then I had to live under the bridge because I was stealing. I was so addicted to drugs and stealing money from my mom and my sister and all that. So I'm like, dude, why are we talking about, let's dish the whole kayak. We're not going to dish the whole kayak thing. We'll work around to see how kayak fishing now gives right. you an outlet.
Yeah.
But without, you know, without disrespecting him as a person and without going details that really have no bearing into talking. Because obviously there's some details that's his personal life he doesn't want to share. And not should he. And I'm not going to go for the clickbait. Because that's not what it is. It's just kind of like in general what you went through and how you got back to being like a normal life
right.
and how the kayak fishing, you know, helps you with, you know, PTSD or whatever it is and your drug addiction or former drug addiction. So those kind of stories kind of help out. And you can't tell you how many messages I get from people saying, man, thank you so much for that episode. The one with Bobby Gunn Morin, which, you know, all his life savings thrown into saving his wife from cancer, which yeah. he survived. People message me that I'm going through stuff like that with a family member. Thank you so much. And it's people that I've talked to suffer from depression, and kayak fishing kind of helps them go through when medicine can only do so much. Again, people message me. Thank you so much. That was a great episode. I'm going through that. So that's what I try to aim, just life stories and, yeah, a little bit of kayak fishing. And every now and then I'll bring a tournament angler and we'll do a review on a tournament because I want to help them as well get monetized for those
right.
that are interested in getting monetized. You know, I want to help them out too. But it's kind of, like you said, a mixture of one thing and another. Not, I think when you just kind of like stay with one thing only and one thing only, that's going to limit your growth.
Well, you limit yourself. I think that's one yeah. thing. That, that's, you know, my last podcast, the title fucked up. It fucked everything up. It was good. It was like the name of the podcast was great, but because of what I named the podcast, it was hard for me to. And I, you know, I get the same problems with the kayak. You know, like when you're a kayak podcast, it's like, what? I don't like. Like, there's so much left in this world to talk about. You know what I mean? So you, it's like,
yep.
how do I make that happen? And then you got to be careful because sometimes you'll kind of like channelize yourself and like you can only stay this. And that's what, and that, especially the fishing community. Like when you look at like YouTube videos and like the history of like fishing people, I mean, they put out like back in the day they used to put out like videos or whatever. It's like it's just the same thing over and over. It's the same thing with the hunting channel. You watch the hunt channel. Now it's starting to get yep. better. Now you're starting to get some crazy guys out there blowing shit up and doing cartwheels and throwing grenades or whatever the hell they're doing. But they're making it more entertaining. For the longest time, though, it was all like it was just the same, yep. same thing over and over again. And that could happen very easily. But like, I don't know, like me, I with podcasts, I try to leave myself as open as possible and not really try to control like what direction I want to. I don't know what direction I want to go. I just know I want to have great conversations and I want people to enjoy the content that I put out, regardless of what it is. If it's a tearjerker, it's a tearjerker. If it's hilarious, it's hilarious. If it's if it's one of those where like, all right, I'm gonna shotgun a beer to this, that's fine too. But whatever, I just wanted to be exciting and entertaining as I possibly can be, and I want people to enjoy it because I know life sucks, work sucks, yeah, and all these things. And if I can give you 30, 45 minutes of entertainment, then so be it. That's my job. That's where I find like my little purpose in life.
And you do it well, man. You do it well. I think we're talking to Charlie Wilson about this. Like, a lot of people don't understand. Joe Rogan, yes, a lot of people know him because of all the stuff that is being said, all the profanity and stuff like that. And people forget, there's a lot of great content out there as well that he provides. It's not profanity and making jokes and all that. It's only going to take you so far. And one of the things that you do well is you bring great content. I've seen some guys lately that do the live Instagram or podcasts, and it's like he's just being vulgar for the sake of being vulgar and think that that's going to get you far. It might give you a shock value at first.
Right.
But at the end, you need to have content that's going to be either useful or entertaining. And yeah, that's going to, you know, if you just, yeah.
I don't like shock value. I don't. Yeah. Like the way I try to set my podcast up, I probably wrap this thing up soon, but I like to set my podcast up. Like if we go camping together for a fishing tournament, that's exactly how I am.
Yep.
At the fish, you know, like I'm cursing, drinking beer, having a great time. It's not to be shock value, but I wanted to bring that to like the podcast. Like that's how I talk. That's how my friends talk. And you know what's funny? Like everyone that I've been camping with, that's exactly how they do. It's just weird. It's like I wanted to make this as much as a real, whatever. I don't want shock value. I don't want the fact that I say a curse word. Like I just curse a lot. Like I got 20 years in the military. I grew up around savages who had potty mouths, and that's I just curse a lot. And I drink beer. I love having a good time. I love talking shit. I love being funny, and that's what I want it to be about. Like I know what you're talking about, the whole shock value. Like to say the word like fuck. Yeah, I get it. But like, I don't want to be like, it's not a shock. I don't like that whole shock value thing. I think it's you can tell when it's corny too. You know what I mean? It's very, very corny, and I try to stay away from corny shit. You know, as much as possible. Like if I'm doing something, if I'm cursing,
it's your personality.
Well, no, not just that, but I want to have some humor behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know. It's and as you were saying, the shock value. I've never really been into that. I just feel like it's I think I'm too old for shock value. You know what I mean? I look at all those what am I gonna do? Like throw myself off a two story building into like some, I don't know, whatever. Like the shock value, I'm just too old for that shit. Like I'm just trying to be whatever. Do you know what the most, like when you hang out with most people drink beer, they curse, they have good times, and that's how they unloose. And that's the part of life I love. And so if I could bring it to the podcast, and that's, I think when people reach out to me and they like it, and when they do say like you're real, and I'm like,
yeah,
I hope what you mean by real is that like this is how, like if me and you were in a bar together, this is how we would talk, this is how we would interact with each other. And that's what I think podcasts should not all be about. It's like I don't blame someone for doing things, you know, like someone doesn't want to have, you know, curse whatever because of sponsors. Dude, why am I gonna hate on you for trying to be successful? You know what I mean? Like that's dude, if you gotta change a little bit about your personality to get some success, I don't give a shit. I'm just not gonna do that. Like it's just, it wouldn't work for someone like me. It probably wouldn't work for someone like you either. It's just, so I mean, it's, but like my, like I feel like the people that I really connect with are people who are similar to me. And you know, having a podcast is all about broadcasting yourself. And if you're not gonna broadcast yourself, you know, I don't see how I would have much fun with it, if that makes any sense.
No, and it does. And for example, like I didn't grow up in continental U.S. I grew up in Puerto Rico, which is part of the U.S. for those that don't know. But main language is Spanish. If I had a Spanish podcast, you'd probably hear me curse in Spanish. But since English is not my first language, me coming off trying to curse, it's not going to come natural because that's not the way I talk. I didn't grow up speaking English, you know? It's not my first language. So that's not my version of cursing in English is whatever show I watched back in the 80s, like Cheers and Sanford and Son and stuff like that, you know, those, because that's what I grew up watching. Those were the words, right? You know, if I would have grew up in the United States and listened to cable TV all my life, then, and HBO and MTV, which I didn't have at that time, then I probably would. Yep. But that's just, so to me, trying to change it into imitating dark waters, it's not going to come out naturally.
Yeah, and then I think the also thing, like, I'm very adaptable. You know what I mean? I know I curse a lot, but like, you'll see sometimes. You know, I had Jackson Orton or whatever or on the show. Dude, when I had him on the show, he was 17. There was no way I was going to drop that bombs and like and put that kid in an uncomfortable situation because that wouldn't be fair to him. And that would just make me a dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't like shock value. I like treating people with respect. And, like, I know when I can have a certain kind of conversation with someone. I know when I'm talking to David Cruz, I know shit's about to hit the fan. You know?
Jake?
Yeah, I know. When Jake comes on, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get some hate mail for this. But, you know, whatever. I mean, there's ways to navigate through this. And I don't judge anyone for doing – because, it's podcast, dude. It's whatever you want to do with it. That's what makes this shit so beautiful. It's yours.
Yeah.
It's all yours. It's 100% yours. You can be authentic. You can be full of shit. You can be whatever you want to do with it. It's all up to you. So.
And it's real quick, because I know you're wrapping it up, but for me, for example, I have the Bass Kayak and beers. I always have a beer in my hand. There's case in point with Twiggy Reed. He's recovering alcoholic. So I'm not going to have a beer on my show that day. And that conversation I had before, hey, man, how you doing? No, listen, I don't drink. I was an alcoholic. Beer stays out of the podcast today because out of respect for my guest, you know, I don't want to be chugging a beer and then talking to him. Right. And then, you know, who knows where that will lead to as far as his personal life or her personal life. So I adapt as well. You know, it's sometimes you're like, hey, you know what? The beer stays on the fridge today. We're just going to talk about kayak fishing.
It's not always about me just being myself. Yeah. It's also about me respecting my guests and just reading the situation. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I think a lot of people, you know, kind of fuck up with this is that, like, dude, being authentic is great. I think it's great. You know what I mean? I love being authentic, but I don't see any reason why I have to, you know, why I can't adapt to someone else's personality and beliefs just for that conversation. Because I want the conversation to be good, and I want it to be a true conversation. And if you're just constantly just being yourself, I know being myself is like, it can be overwhelming for some people. You know, it's like I got to pull that shit back. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna go to a church drunk on a Sunday morning if
with edibles, like on a tournament.
I'm not gonna show up on edibles just because, like, hey, great, I don't go to church, but if someone invited me to go to the church, I'm gonna act like I go to church. You know what I mean? I'm gonna respect those boundaries. And it has nothing to do with not me being authentic. It has everything to do with me not being a fucking asshole. You know, and respecting my guests and respecting that conversation, that situation. So I don't know, we gotta wrap this thing up though, man. What's next for you? The season's coming to an end. Texas is hot as fuck right now.
My god!
Yeah, we'll do, like, I mean, you guys got a lot going on. Like, you got a lot going on in the fall. Me and you live in two different worlds. You're in Texas. I'm in New York. It don't get much different than that. So
when are you coming to Texas next year for a tournament? Please tell me you are.
I'm not gonna promise, but like I am. Me and my wife. I talked to my wife. Like, hey, I want to be a champ. You know, and when I say shit like that, she understands it. Like, okay, he's obsessed, and he's going to be a champ. So. I'm going to do a lot more traveling next year, especially in like the early season. Because, you know, when yours guys' season starts, it's still frozen up here. So I'm going to make some of those trips down south. So I don't know if I'm going to go to Texas, but I'm definitely going to make some of those trips down to, like, I don't know what the schedule is. I know, you know, if it's going to be at Seminole or wherever, but I'm going to make some of those trips down south. I do want to fish Texas. Texas is like after
what I'm going to take you to Lake Fork, man.
Lake Fork, Possum Kingdom.
Possum Kingdom. Brazos River, buddy.
But, you know,
you're going to have a blast.
Through the podcast, I've met some great people. I got to hang out with Matthew Scott. So,
great guy.
Texas is not off the limit. It's just, it needs to be, like, I need to see the schedule. I need to talk to the wife. But I definitely want to go to Texas and hang. Texas is like the ultimate bucket list right now, if that makes any sense. Like, no shit. Texas is like exactly, that's where I want to go. But it's got to make sense. You know what I mean? It has to make financial sense. I got to see where I am at during that time of season. Because I think most of the time in Texas, it's closer to like early summer, I feel like, when they did most of theirs. Like May.
Spawning season, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see, man. But yeah, dude, like Texas eventually has to happen. But I just got to make sure financially it's a good go, that like I'm feeling good about it. So.
Yeah, man, as far as I'm going back to your original question, I plan on doing more tournaments, and I'm in the same situation as you, man. Like, my family comes first, you know, and my dreams to become a great angler cannot supersede, you know, my wife has her dreams too, and her, you know, and her job and her goals. So there's got to be a give and take, and she has been wonderful about it. But next year, I plan to do I want to be on the Hobie BOS more involved. I was going to do it this year. Unfortunately, things. Am I still there?
Yeah, you're there. It's good.
Are you there, Josh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to get more involved in the Hobie BOS. I think what we're gonna I'm gonna do is because you can't just go and show up for the tournament. It's gonna take a few days. I don't want to leave my wife, you know, by herself because we don't have kids. Right. All those days, you know, just I don't want to. So I may just, you know, we'll plan around. My vacation is very flexible. My work is very flexible. So we might just be, hey, let's make a week out of this. We'll go to either Oklahoma or Arkansas. You know, I'll fish, I'll pre-fish, you know, till noon and hang out, make a vacation out of this, bring the dog with us, do some tournaments. And my goal is to do a few tournaments at OBBOS, and maybe I'm just good enough to make it to the top 50 in the TOC. If I don't make it, that's fine. As long as I you know, I don't get skunk in any tournament, then that's good. But yeah, I want to focus on the Hobie BOS just because I want to support them, and I think they're the best tournament out there right now. And that's it. As far as the podcast, you just bring, you know, just bringing more guests from different areas, background, kayak fishing, and just grow the platform and have everybody enjoy it.
Well, cool, man. This is your time right now. Thank anyone that makes fishing easier for you, and then we'll wrap this shit up, dude.
Well, first of all, my wife, she's been very supportive, you know, and, you know, I can't say enough nice things about her and, you know, all her constant support and my biggest cheerleader. That makes my kayak fishing decisions a lot more easier when I know I have her support and she's happy. Other than that, Douglas Rods, man, amazing rods. I don't say because they're my sponsor. I truly believe I would... I've always told myself I'm not going to get a sponsorship just to make money, just to become more popular. It needs to make sense. It needs to be a product that I believe, and I really do believe in their rods. They're amazing rods. I do whatever I can to let people know because I truly believe in them. I think it's a great alternative from those high-end St. Croix and G. Loomis. They're amazing rods as well. Not saying anything wrong about it, not putting them out. They're great companies. But people need to take a hard look at Douglas Rod because they're doing amazing rods. Their rod designer, Fred Contai, is an amazing rod designer. And they're doing some great products out there. And I go to douglasoutdoors.com, check them out. Amazing products.
Well, cool, man. We had to make this happen. I'm sorry it took so long.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure.
I wanted to learn Spanish. I wanted to make this special. I'm sorry I couldn't do it. I guess you need to learn that. Learn that shit when you're younger, I guess. But, dude, I mean, we're in it, man. We're in the thick of it. So I'm sure I'll have you back on. But good luck with the rest of the season. And we'll talk again soon, brother.
You too, man. Good luck with all you're doing, man. And count with my support, both tournament and with your podcast.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.